Hi, church. We're in this series, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' vision for the church. And today we come to a really interesting passage, but quite a complex passage. So verse 1 starts off by saying, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." That's fairly straightforward. That's something that we all like to hear. Don't judge, don't condemn. But then in the very next breath, Jesus is calling one group of people a pig and another group of people a dog. So verse 6, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs." That seems to be a complete contradiction, doesn't it? Don't judge anybody, you pig. Don't call anybody names, you dog. It doesn't seem to fit in with what we understand about Jesus. We know that Jesus calls us to be a city on a hill, to be salt and light. We know that Jesus' last words to the disciples was to go and tell all the nations the good news about Jesus and his kingdom. And yet in verse 6, Jesus seems to say that there are some people who are so hostile, whose hearts are so hard, that in a sense we should give up on them, that there are some people who in a sense are just a waste of time. It doesn't really even fit with what Jesus says about himself. Remember that he said, "I've come not for the healthy, but for the sick." That Jesus comes for the broken and the tax collector and the sinner. The people that the rest of the world has given up on, Jesus has come for these people. So Jesus says, don't judge. But then he calls us to judge, and he calls people pigs and dogs. And Jesus says, don't judge, but then he uses this metaphor of eyes and splinters and planks, which is all about judgment. Now, so what are we to make with this passage, to judge or don't judge? And the issue of judging is it's a critical issue, and it's a contemporary issue, isn't it? I mean, people outside of the church often criticise us for being hypocritical and judgmental. We live in a culture that hates being judged. We hate being told what to do. We value our own independence. You can't tell me what is right or wrong. Yet in some ways, we're becoming more critical than ever. Vicious Facebook comments, people judging one another all the time, politicians who divide, shock jock radios and commentators who demean, Twitter accounts that belittle. We hate judging, yet we are living in a culture that increasingly is becoming judgmental and critical of one another. So again, what to do? Should we judge or shouldn't we judge? Well, how about I pray and then we'll look at today's passage. Heavenly Father, I do pray that your spirit might be alive and at work in our hearts and in our minds, that this passage of Scripture actually might come alive to us, that we might understand these words of Jesus, that our discipleship might actually become deeper, that we might be able to grow in our character, in our godliness and in our holiness. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So verses 1 to 6 speak about the type of kingdom relationships that Jesus wants us to have. So verse 1, "Do not judge or you too will be judged." What does that word judge mean? Well, whenever you look up a word in the dictionary, often there's a number of sort of meanings or applications for that word, depending on the context. So the word judge can mean to evaluate or to discern. So last weekend, I went abseiling with Byron and we looked over this cliff and Byron said, "Well, how high do you think that cliff is?" And I thought, "Oh, maybe it looks 60 metres. And Byron said, "No, I think it's 100 metres. And I said, "Well, maybe it's 70. And then he said 90. And we agreed on perhaps 80. What were we doing? We were judging. We were evaluating. We were discerning. Maybe not very well, but that's what we were doing. But on the other end of the spectrum, judging can mean to condemn, to exclude, to reject, to write somebody off, to feel superior to somebody else. So within the scope of this word judge, on the one hand, you have discernment and evaluation, and on the other end, you have condemnation and punishment. And when Jesus says in verse 1, "Do not judge," he's saying there is a judgment that is all about condemnation. It's all about inflicting pain, to hurt, to punish, to make somebody feel bad, to get rid of a person, to put somebody down and tear them apart. And he says, don't you dare do that. But there is a judgment that is all about discernment. There is a judgment that is about love and building people up and not tearing them down. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, instead, speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Discerning one another, speaking truth into one another's life. This is the type of kingdom community that Jesus wants us to be. Our staff have a whole heap of values that we seek to live by, but one of the values is this, that we will speak the truth in love to one another. That is, we won't avoid difficult conversations. We won't avoid actually speaking into one another's lives. Why? Because we want to get better as people. We want to get better as leaders. We want our ministries to grow and become healthier. We want this church to get better. And yet, if you asked any one of our staff members, what is the hardest value for us to actually implement? It's this value of being able to speak the truth in love. How do you keep really good relationships but encourage one another to become more Christ-like at the same time? I think if we're honest, all of us have made mistakes in this area, haven't we? Some of us are cowards in the sense that we never actually speak the truth into anybody's life. We're so worried about upsetting people, but also we're so worried about, in a sense, of being unpopular ourselves. And there are times when we know that we should have said something, we should have spoken into somebody's life, but we didn't and we were cowards. But then there are others who are like a double-barrel shotgun. They're like a bulldozer. They love truth. Truth is truth. And they speak truth into people's lives without any concern for that person or the emotional well-being of that person. Again, as I think of myself as a leader, this discipline of speaking the truth of love into other people's lives is one of the most difficult things to do. So how do you do it? Well, let's look at this fascinating and famous metaphor that Jesus uses. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. That's a super cool multifaceted metaphor. You know when you've got a piece of dust or a splinter in your eye? It might just be tiny, but it affects your whole vision, doesn't it? Often your eyes water and often you can't open your eyes. And when you do open your eyes, everything is kind of blurry because of this dust or this speck in your eye. What is the point? Well, one of the things I think Jesus is saying to us in this passage is that because of our brokenness and because of our sinfulness, we never see things clearly. We don't see ourselves clearly. We don't see other people clearly. We don't see other situations clearly. Our vision is always blurred. And that should actually create a great humility within us when it comes to discerning other people's lives. And what is this truth that we seek to bring into other people's lives? Well, it's not your truth or my truth. It's not your opinion or my opinion. The truth is the Word of God. It's the life and the teaching of Jesus. That is the straight edge on which we seek to measure our lives upon and our ministry upon and our church upon. So it might be that you hear somebody preach or teach and there's something about the teaching that you think, well, that's not quite right. And so you go to that brother or sister in Christ and say, hey, could we open the scriptures and could we actually look at God's word together just to see if we're actually accurate and true in what we're saying? It might be going to a friend and you notice how, you know, that he's treating his wife or he's treating his children. And you say, well, actually, I've got a concern there. Could we actually open the book of Ephesians and look at God's mind upon how to be a good husband and how to be a good dad? And who are we in the story? At different times, we are both people, aren't we? Sometimes we're the person with the speck in our eye that needs help, and sometimes we're the person, in a sense, with the plank in our eye who goes and seeks to help another person. But I think the point is that in either case, we have a distorted view of ourselves. We have a distorted view of our character. We have a distorted view of our relationships. We have a distorted view of our values and our own leadership. And unless somebody is loving enough to point out our flaws, we will remain that way for the rest of our lives. You know, when you've got a splinter in your eye, what do you need to do? You need to go to somebody else and so that they can actually help you get that splinter out. I can remember as a kid, you know, often playing outside and you'd get a bit of dust or a bit of a splinter, a bit of wood in your eye and, you know, it would hurt and I'd run to Mum and I'd say, Mum, can you actually help me get this splinter out? And she'd try to open my eye and it was painful. I'd say, don't do that, Mum. And eventually, you know, she would open my eye and get it out, but it was painful. It was hard. It was difficult. What is the point? The point is that we've all got blind spots in our character. We've all got blind spots in the way that we treat people and the way that we conduct our lives. We've all got blind spots when it actually comes to following Jesus, and we need the help of other people to discern those things in our lives. We need other people to get the splinter out. We need other people to bring judgment and discernment into our lives. We need other people to speak the truth in love to us. We need evaluation. But how do you do that? Well, think about the metaphor. If somebody's got a splinter in their eye, how do you actually remove it? The answer is very carefully. You don't use a chainsaw, you don't use a chisel, you don't use a knife or a set of tweezers. You use a wet tissue and you do it as gently and with great patience. How do we speak the truth in love to one another? Gently and with great patience. Verse 4 again. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time you have a plank in your own? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. It's a hilarious picture, isn't it? This idea that you've got a speck in your eye and you go to a friend only to discover that they've got a plank in theirs. It's a bit like going to the optometrist only to find that your optometrist is actually blind. What use or what help are they? It's silly, except it isn't. Another thing that Jesus is saying to us in this metaphor is that we can be far more aware and far more sensitive to other people's brokenness, to their faults, to their behaviour and to their sin while remaining blind to our own. This does away with any sense of superiority. This actually should make us humble. All of us, in a sense, should feel like that we've got a plank in our eye. In other words, our own brokenness and our own fallenness should actually loom large in our vision of ourselves and of others. There needs to be a creation of a sense of self-awareness of who you are, of knowing what is happening in your heart. My own selfishness, my own pride, my own pettiness, my own insecurities, my own anger, my own fear. Jesus, I think, is pointing out something that we all do. That is, again, it's easy to focus on somebody else's failures while remaining blind to our own. In applying this metaphor, I think, to my ministry, to pastoral ministry, in a sense, as I seek to conduct this ministry of truth and love, how do I actually go about correcting people? With great humility. As a broken and fallen, sinful person myself, I'll often go to somebody and share something of my own brokenness or my own sinfulness. My sin might not actually be the same as theirs, but I'll freely acknowledge that I've made huge mistakes in my life, that I'm prone to do the dumbest things. And I'll say to that person, that brother or sister in Christ, I love you, I care for you, I'm no different to you. But I'm concerned about this behaviour, or I'm concerned about the way that you treated that person in that meeting, or I'm concerned about this, or I'm concerned about that. You know, there are some people that are all truth and truth, and there are other people that are all love and love. How do you actually become a person that is full of truth and full of love? I was trying to think about that, and I was trying to think of an example of somebody who demonstrated this ministry of truth and love in the Bible, and my mind immediately went to Nathan's encounter with David. Remember King David? He's the king of Israel. He's described as a man whose heart was close to the heart of God, but he had sinned. He had lots of splinters in his eyes. And so Nathan, his best friend in 1 Samuel chapter 2, goes to him. And chapter 12, sorry, it says this: the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He had raised it and grew it up with him and his children. He shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arm. It was like a daughter to him. That is one spoilt sheep. Now a traveller came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveller. Instead, he took a ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared for this traveller. David, upon hearing this, burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, this man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. And then verse 7, Nathan said to David, you are the man. Man, David, you are the man who has taken something that is not yours. You are the man who has actually abused your power and your wealth. You're the man who's actually committed adultery. You're the man who's committed murder. You have lied and you have deceived and you have covered up. But then look at David's response in verse 13. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. That's it. That's this ministry of truth and love. How does Nathan go to David? In love. Nathan is David's best friend. He's thought about David. He's prayed about David. The passage says that the Lord sent him. He's thought about this story. So he's thought about what is the best way to speak truth into David's life in such a way that David would hear it. And then do you see David's response? He doesn't fall apart, he doesn't get angry, he doesn't sulk, he doesn't fall into self-pity, he doesn't explode. Rather, he says, yes, you're right. That is me. That is actually who I am, and that is what I have done. I need to be forgiven and I need to change. Friends, there is great humility and great love being expressed and demonstrated by both Nathan and David in that encounter, and that is the ministry of truth and love. Verse 6 doesn't seem to fit this passage, and yet it does. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. What's going on? It seems such a weird verse, doesn't it? Well, there are two parallel parables, one about a dog and another one about a pig. A dog, and in Jesus' day, most dogs were actually domestic animals. There were some wild dogs, but many were domestic. So in Mark chapter 7, Jesus is talking with a Syrophoenician woman, and he's talking about the dogs under the table that you feed at the end of the meal. And then in pigs in Jesus' day were almost always domestic animals. So the prodigal son ends up on a farm full of pigs. So both dogs and pigs were domestic animals. Both were fed. So you might give a dog a bone, or you might give a pig of a husk of corn. Something that they like and something that they could consume. But here, both the dog and the pig are given something that they can't eat. The dog is given something that is sacred, and the pig is given pearls. And Jesus says, if you do that to a dog or a pig, they're just going to get angry and they'll tear you apart. What is the point? Well, good question. What is the point? Well, most commentators state that the thing that is sacred and the pearl is the gospel. It's the good news about Jesus and his kingdom. So in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives this parable. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So the pearl is Jesus and the kingdom of God. And do you see the contrast between the pig and the merchant? The pig is not interested in pearls. The pig has no need for pearls. The pig can't wear them, but the pig can't eat them. The pig has no value for pearls. But the merchant sees this pearl and he sells everything and gives everything away because he sees the infinite value of the pearl. What is the point? Well, the point is that some people see Jesus and they see his kingdom. And they see the beauty and the awe and the wonder of who Jesus is, and they commit their whole life to Jesus, and therefore they are open to discipleship, and they are open to this ministry of truth and love because they want to become more like Jesus. And as a result, love, joy, peace, patience, all of that fruit of the Spirit actually grows in their lives. These people, their life is firmly on the foundation of grace. They believe that they're sinners saved by grace. Grace, that they're under the greatest love in the universe, that they're sons and daughters of God, and they're secure and they're confident in who they are in Christ. But they're also sinners. And so when somebody actually points out their sin, they're not offended by that. They don't fall apart by that. They're actually open to this idea of being corrected and rebuked so that they can grow to become more like Jesus. But a person who's like a pig, they don't see the beauty of Jesus. They're not really all that interested in Jesus. They're not really interested in the discipleship, and they're definitely not interested in truth. And instead of growing in love, joy, peace, and patience and kindness, they actually become more piggish in their behavior. They become more bitter and insecure and critical and judgmental. And if you actually speak truth into this type of person's life, Jesus says they will be like a wild pig or a wild dog, and they will turn and they will tear you to pieces. What is the point of verse 6? The point of verse 6 is a question. Are we like the merchant or are we like the pig? Do you see the beauty of Jesus and his kingdom? Are you committed to discipleship in this ministry of truth and love? Are you humble enough to allow somebody else to actually lovingly speak truth into your life so that you might grow more like Jesus? Friends, Jesus says the only way we're going to truly be a city on a hill, to be salt and light, is if we enter into this ministry of truth and love. I can remember as a kid, I remember as a kid stacking my bike. I was just had shorts and t-shirts on and some thongs, and I stacked my bike in a really bad way. I actually tore some toenails off my toes and took skin off all one side of my body, and I was on gravel, so I had gravel rash, and I had to go to the hospital, and I was there for hours, what seemed hours, and the doctors and nurses, just little bit by little bit, with tweezers, were taking bits of stone and gravel out of my wound, and it hurt, and you know, it was painful and it was difficult, but I realized that every time they took a stone out, it was a part of my healing. It was part of actually making me better. Friends, if we would just be humble enough to both give and receive this ministry of truth and love, I'm convinced that we will become more like Jesus, and we will become the kingdom people that he desires for us to be. So allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray that, you know, this complex ministry of truth and love, some of us are just more kind of truth orientated people, others are more just kind of love orientated people, yet you desire for us to be both. Father, I pray for the courage and the security to actually submit ourselves to this type of ministry, that other people can speak truth into our lives so that we become more like Jesus, but also help us, make us into the kind of discipleship community that love people enough to encourage them to become more like Jesus. Amen.